to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, City View. How are you guys doing? Is it morning still? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. 12. Well, hey, good morning. Hey, I'd like to welcome up Alicia Young. Alicia Young, why don't you come on up? So Alicia Young, you've seen her. She does our welcome on stage here. She is getting ready to go on a 9-month missions trip. It's a long time. So Alicia, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Hi, everyone. So on September 5th, I am going on a 9-month mission trip to Guatemala, Ethiopia, Thailand, and Malaysia. And I'll just be serving the people in the community there, whatever their needs are. We'll just be serving them. And I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm really excited. Also, I have a blog. It's aliciayoung.theworldrace.org. And if you subscribe to my blog, you can, I've already posted a few blog posts, but you can stay updated with my trip all throughout the 9 months. aliciayoung.theworldrace.org. So also, if you didn't get that, you can, come talk to me after. But, that's what I'm doing.
So you're going for 9 months?
Yes, 9 months.
How can we be praying for you?
Just this transition season of saying goodbye and everything I've known my whole life for 9 months. Just prayers as I say bye to my family and my friends. And then also, just for fundraising, I've raised about $10,500, which is awesome, yeah. And I have about $6,000 left to go, which isn't that much. So it's really exciting.
So follow her blog at aliciayoung.theworldrace.org. aliciayoung.theworldrace.org. Thank you. Great, I can spell. I was just helping everybody else out. So if you guys would please welcome up Tony and Lisa and Maya and David to the stage. We're going to pray for Alicia this morning because they also need prayer. I mean, they're watching their sister and daughter go to everywhere else around the world. And that it's just they work together as a family. They do everything together. And it's just it's a teamwork thing for them, as most families. And their family just takes a little more teamwork as they get people to all the different places. So they're praying that David turns 16 as fast as he can so that he can help driving and stuff. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Alicia. And God, we thank you for her heart, her desire to serve and love you and just be your hands and feet in other countries. Lord, we ask your protection upon her as she goes. Lord, we ask that you would give her travel mercies. And Lord, we ask that you'd provide for her financially and spiritually and physically, Lord. God, that you would just be there for her. And Lord, we pray for her family. God, that you would bring them comfort and peace as she travels, Lord, Lord, they just go throughout their day-to-day life. Lord, just figuring things out. Lord, I ask that you would give them peace and comfort. Lord, that you'd meet them and be there all in all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, have fun. So when do you leave?
September 5th.
September 5th you leave. So you'll see her next couple weeks. Thank you so much, Alicia. So, when I talked about giving last week, you are helping her go on this trip as well. So you've sent multiple different missionaries on different missions trips. And we're all about reaching people not only in our valley, but in the uttermost parts as well. So thank you so much for all that you do, City View. So this Sunday, we are continuing the series Quit Church, and that might sound weird to you, like why does he want us to quit the church, but he wants us to go to church? Well, it's not quit church, but it's quit just sort of sitting here and not being a part of what God's doing and not being a part of the action, but it's being the church. It's being the church everywhere we go, whether we're at work or at the grocery store, but it's also quit just sitting. It's being a part of it here on a Sunday, being a part of what God is doing. I remember years ago, I used to work at a church, and I worked maintenance, and I volunteered as the junior high youth director. And I would work, I don't know how many hours I worked, and it was somewhere between 80, 90 hours a week I'd be putting in between my 40, 50 hours a week doing maintenance, and then on top of that, running a youth ministry, teaching Sunday mornings, two services, Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, preparing messages, doing all the different things that you do as a youth pastor, spending time with kids, doing events and all that. And it was a lot of time. And so there'd be days where I wouldn't know if I'm volunteering my time or getting paid for it. And all that would sort of get blurred. And I remember this one day in particular, and I'm setting up a room. And I'm in this room and I'm setting up all the chairs and for this event that's going to happen. It's not a youth event. It's just a church event. And I remember setting up all the chairs and I remember the pastor coming in, and I remember getting in to just talk to in not the nicest of ways. And I remember being told it was done wrong. And I'm like, but I know I did it exactly as I was told. And I was frustrated. I was not happy in this moment. And now I'm tearing it down, resetting up, and I'm just mad. You know, in that moment where you're just mad, and now your heart's mad, and you're just grumpy. And so that's what I'm tearing things down. And I remember in this moment, God says, Jeremiah, who are you serving? He goes, if you're serving him, then you'll never be satisfied. But if you're serving me, you've got a bad heart right now. And I will never forget that moment. I will not forget where I was. I know exactly what room I was in the church. I remember exactly where I was at in the building. And I remember what I was doing in that moment. I will never forget it, because it was at that moment where God gave me my first check as a young 20-year-old kid, when God said, Jeremiah, who are you serving? Who are you serving? It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to lose focus. And I realized in that moment that I was serving people and not God. That's a dangerous place to be. See, I loved what I did and I loved to serve, but at some point in those years of doing that, I got distracted. At some point, my service became my work, became my obligation, and became a distraction. You see, this happens at home, it happens at work, it happens at school, it happens at church. For many of us here today, we land in many pockets when it comes to serving. When it comes to serving, speaking specifically about church. You see, for some of us, we're serving and we love it. Maybe you're in City Kids, or you're on the Hello team, or you're on audio team, and you're on the worship team, and you're just doing what you love. And some of us, we're in it, and we love it. We're serving and we're loving it. For others of us, we're serving, but we haven't quite found our niche. We haven't found that place that we're thriving. And that's an okay place to be. It's okay to, you want to be serving, but maybe you just haven't found your one spot yet. That's okay to be, but don't get stuck there. Make sure you find your niche. Some of us, we're serving out of obligation. You serve because you know you have to. I've been there. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, so it was sort of told, you know what, you love God, you have to serve. It was a good thing. But the thing is, your heart has got to transition from serving people to serving God. You have to make that transition. If you don't make that transition, then that serving turns into the next thing. Your serving becomes, it turns to burnout. You're serving and on your way to burnout. And I've been there. Maybe some of us were sitting in here this morning and we didn't even realize there were needs. You didn't even realize there were needs at church. You didn't realize there were things that needed to be done. You didn't know that. You know, I know I've met with plenty of husbands who had no idea there were needs at home. And I'm like, for reals right now. You didn't know you could do that obvious thing. It's amazing. Some people there are times when I didn't realize the milk was right there in front of me in the fridge. The obvious things sometimes are not the easiest things to find. It's not the easiest things. So some of us, maybe we're like, okay, I just haven't found it. Some of us, we're not serving at all. So this morning, the title of my message is Quit Helping Out. Be a part of the team. Be a part of what God is doing. I have been in all these places. I've been serving and loving it. I've served and not found my niche. I've served out of obligation. I've served on my way to burnout. I wasn't serving because I didn't realize there was a need. When I first came back from Bible college, I was sitting in my room. I just finished. I wanted to serve the Lord, and guess what I was doing? Nothing. because I was waiting for the right thing instead of just waiting for a thing. And I sat there until I got a phone call. Somebody said, hey, would you like to volunteer and help us on the worship team in junior high? And I said, I'll pray about it. And God says, you've been praying a long time for somewhere to serve. Here's your opportunity. I'm like, I can't play an instrument. I tried learning from Scott, and I failed. I gave up, or he gave up. One of us gave up on each other. But finally, God woke me up and said, hey, this is where I want you. And I've been at that place where I wasn't serving at all. Here's what I want for each of us in here today. I want us to get from wherever we are in our serving life. If we're not serving, or if we're serving in burnout, serving in obligation, I want to get us from that point to getting to a place where we're serving and loving it. Because that's where each and every believer should be. Serving and loving it, because you're doing what God has called you to do. You're in that niche, you're in that place, and you're watching God bless others through what he's doing through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today. And God, I ask that you would speak to us and bless us and encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, and help us to see you in a whole new way. God, I ask, Lord, wherever we're at in this gamut of different things, Lord, whether we're serving and loving it, not serving, or somewhere in between, Lord, I pray that you would help us see, Lord, the gifts and the talents that you have given us, Lord. And may we step in faith into the new things you have. God, I ask that you'd speak to your people all over the valley, Lord, no matter where they're at, if they're at Christ Church, Cross Church, Valley Life. God, I ask that you'd speak through your people and to your people and speak to us at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we hear in this chapter, we meet a lady that is one of Jesus' close friends, one of his circle of friends. We meet this lady named Martha. And as we read through the Gospels, we see Martha's transformation of who she was to who she's going to be. We see this beautiful transformation of a woman who goes from serving out of obligation to serving and loving it. And we meet her first in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So Martha here, she starts off strong. She desires to be hospitable with her life. And I'm sure she had this idea of how everything was going to go, how serving Jesus was going to go. How many of us walk into anything with expectations? You just sort of expect things to go a certain way. You have people over and you sort of expect they're going to show up on time. Dinner's going to be ready on time. My kids are going to help me clean or whatever is going to go. And you go to work and you expect things to sort of happen on time. You know, we all walk in with expectations. And I'm sure she had this idea of how serving Jesus was going to go. She had this idea that her and her sister Mary were going to go and clean the house. They're going to set the table. They're going to prepare the meal together. And then finally, they were going to serve together. Have you ever walked into a situation with a plan on how things are going to go, and then all of a sudden, things do not go as they were planned? Have you ever been there? I have. You see, I'm sure Martha had this idea, this plan. She didn't tell anybody else about the plan, but she had this plan. You know, that was key. She probably should have told Mary, hey, Mary, here's what I'm expecting out of you today. Mary, I'm expecting that you help me with dinner. Mary, I'm expecting you help me serve dinner. I'm expecting you help me clean. Here's what I'm hoping. Instead, she just sort of assumed, don't ever do that. Don't assume somebody can read your mind and know what you want them to do. That works in so many ways, whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, if you're married or you're not married, if you have roommates, if you have an idea on how something should go, give somebody a clue because they need to know too. And I don't think they had that idea. But here's what happens is there is a total miscommunication, a misunderstanding. What we find out soon is that Martha wasn't doing she wasn't serving Jesus because she was sort of excited. She was doing it more out of this obligation, out of this attention, out of this self place that she was in. And here's the first point I want us to get is when it comes to serving, serving is about Jesus, not about you. Serving is about Jesus, not about you. So verse 39, so Martha invites everybody, comes over for dinner, and says her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner and she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and she said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I'm doing all the work? Tell her to come and help me out." Have you ever been there where you're the one and you just feel like you're the only one doing all the work? Who's been there before? Martha's doing all the work and Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet doing nothing. How many of us have ever felt like that? We felt like we're the only one who notices all the things. Maybe you're a mom or you're at work or church or school and you're the only one who notices that the trash is full. Have you ever been there? You're like, how am I the only one who notices the trash is full? Maybe you're at work and you're like, how am I the only one that notices that the copier is always out of paper? Am I the only one who knows how to take a new thing of paper and put it in? Maybe you're the one, every time you sit on the toilet and you look over, you go, how are we out of toilet paper? Every single time I sit on this toilet, we're out of toilet paper. Kids! You make that yell. Maybe you're like, honey, how is it? Maybe it's just you and your wife at home and you're like, okay, I know you were the last one there. How? Every time. And maybe we're in that place where we just feel like we're the only one doing everything. And see, Martha got distracted with her serving. Martha got distracted with a good thing. Because she was so focused on herself, not on the one she was serving. You see, when we serve for ourselves, that's when we are distracted and burnout happens. We have to make time to be at the feet of Jesus. We have to make time to be still and be calm. You see, Martha was so busy, and Jesus is going to tell her this. You've been so busy. We can get so busy with good things that the good things become bad things in our heart. It's easy to get distracted, it's easy to lose focus, and it's easy to get frustrated when our eyes turn inward on us. We get tired, burned out, and discouraged. I know this because I've been there. I've been at this place where I just go, 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 do, give, and I run out of everything. It's easy. It's an easy place to get. We have to continually check our hearts. It happens at work. When we're at work and we feel like we're the only one doing the project, nobody else is carrying the burden. It happens at work. It happens at home when we feel like we're the only one who's helping with the kids or caring for dinner or doing all these things. It happens when we just get so focused on it's about me and not about Jesus. It happens at work. It happens at school. It happens here at church. It happens with your roommates. You're like, am I the only one who's noticing this? You see, when we forget that it's not about you and it's about him, we easily get frustrated. The second thing I want you to know is serving starts at the feet of Jesus. There is something that we have to do each and every day. We have to, maybe it's take a moment, quiet for me. I know Sundays are going to be stressful. I know Sundays are going to be sort of a marathon kind of day. I know that about Sundays. So for me, I know I've got to wake up early. I've got to get myself right. And even when I get myself right, I can easily get distracted and discouraged. So I wake up at 4:30 every Sunday morning, not because I'm more spiritual, but because I'm less. Not because I've got it all together, because I'm falling apart. Because I know that I need a whole lot poured in before I start pouring out. That's why I get up early. It's not because I have it all together. It's because I don't. It's because I got to make sure I'm put together before I get here on a Sunday morning. So I've got to make sure I'm spending time in prayer. My wife goes, but my eyes don't even work at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, mine don't either. She goes, how do you not fall asleep? I go, I set alarms, 10-minute alarms. And so if my alarm goes off and it wakes me up, then I'm awake. And I don't feel bad about it. It's not like God's like, Jeremiah, you fell asleep. What in the world? Did you need a 10-minute nap? Because I haven't fallen asleep all day. I haven't slept since I created the world back in day 7. I haven't rested. So why do you need a rest? No, God doesn't make me feel guilty. He's given me the convenience of having something that sets an alarm for me. It's a convenient thing. And so I have little things. But for me, like one thing I do is I sit quietly for 2 minutes. First thing in the morning. I go down, I sit on my couch, and I sit quietly for 2 minutes because I need that. I don't pray. I try not to think. I don't read. And let me tell you, for a guy with ADD, that's a hard thing to do. because my brain is always going. So I have to focus really on not focusing on anything. I know it's confusing, but that's what I do. Maybe it's read for you, maybe it's pray, but either way, we've got to start our day with focusing on Jesus. Because serving, even if you get paid for it, it starts at the feet of Jesus. Verse 41. But the Lord said to her, Martha, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I love how Jesus responds. Martha bursts into the room. You know Martha. Martha is probably an A personality. She probably likes everything perfect. She probably has this idea on how things should go. You know, she had this plan, this idea. We're going to do this first, this first, this first. Then we're going to do this, and then this, and this, and this is going to happen. Then we're going to clean up. You know those people like that? They just have this plan for every single thing. You go on vacation, and they have this plan. They know what they're going to do. Day one, day two, day three, they know what they're going to do every hour. They know when you're going to fall asleep. That's the plan. I'll bet Martha is similar to that. Nothing bad about that, but that's Martha's personality. Mary is totally different. Mary's like, oh, Jesus. You know, that's Mary. She's just sort of happy and worships Jesus, and that's a good thing to be too. It's just two different personalities. And I love that Jesus doesn't go, Martha, get your act together. What are you doing, Martha? You're distracted. You sound like a fool in front of all these people. No, he doesn't reprimand her. He doesn't belittle her. But he says, dear Martha, my beloved Martha, Martha, Martha. He says, you are worried and upset about these details. He says, you're missing the important thing. It's spending time with me. He says, Martha, I don't care if you just make pizza. Martha, I don't care if we just eat on paper plates and we just sit at the table and it's still a mess from all the kids that have been making messes all day. I don't care. You see, some of us, we think we got to have it all together before we come to Jesus' feet. We got to make sure all these things are done. I've cleaned my house. I've done all this stuff. And Jesus is like, can you just sit still for a moment? And that's what he says to her. He says, Martha, Martha. There's nothing wrong with a clean house. There's nothing wrong with a nice dinner. But when we are more focused and more worried about how it looks and what things are going to go, that we get distracted with the people we're serving, we get distracted that we're serving them for Jesus, when we get distracted on the action and not the person and not the one we love in Jesus, then you know what? We lose focus. You see, we have to be careful in this moment of being tired and worn out. You see, Martha in this moment, she easily, we may never have a John chapter, what is the next place I'm going? John chapter 12. We may never have this next section, which I'm not going there yet. We may never have this next section if it wasn't for her listening to Jesus in this moment. You see, for some of us, we miss out on this moment because we get distracted, we get frustrated, we move on, we quit, and we go to something new because we're like, you know, this is too hard. I'm going to go back to what's comfortable. But Martha doesn't do that. You see, we can get so focused on what we're doing, how we are doing it, how we're doing it more than others, and how it's always you. And that's what Martha could have done. This is where we make our poorest decisions. It's in those moments of frustration, tired, and being worn out. We quit ministries. We quit things that are good. We leave churches. We do things out of this frustration. We do things in this moment of just being overwhelmed. We quit jobs. We quit marriages. We quit all these things in a moment because it's gotten too much on me instead of on him. You see, Martha could easily have said, you know what, forget it. I hate this. I hate this. So I don't know. I don't even know why I bother serving Jesus. She could have said that. But you know what we see? Look at John chapter 12. 6 days before. Now, so we're looking at this a few years down the road now. A few years down the road. 6 days before Passover, celebration began. Jesus arrived in Bethany. He's back in the same town. To the home of Lazarus, the man who had been raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Lazarus sat and ate. In verse 3, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance. So quite a bit later, we see a totally different heart. See, the third thing I want us to know is we've got to serve out of our strengths. First, serving is about Jesus, not you. Second, serving starts at the feet of Jesus. Third, you've got to serve in your strengths. You see, Martha, you don't see Martha now at Jesus' feet starting singing and worshiping and doing all that. You don't see Martha do that because that's not Martha's personality. Martha's not a get on your feet, being in the center of attention. That's Mary's personality. We see Mary now serving in her strength. Mary was probably more of an outgoing, more like to be the center of attention kind of person. You see that in Mary. Women didn't go into the middle of a meeting of men. Women didn't do that in that culture. That was not cultural. That was not a common thing. But you see Mary being there, not ashamed. This is the second time she's at the feet of Jesus. This is the second time she's at a place where it's mostly men being there. You see that with Mary. So you know Mary's personality? She's probably maybe like a worship leader kind of person, somebody who's not ashamed of being in front of people, somebody who's not ashamed of talking in front. That's her personality. So you see Mary serving in her strengths. You see that in Mary. You see that in her, but sometimes when you serve in your strengths, people ridicule you for what you're doing because you don't make sense to people. Judas, in this same passage, John chapter 12, he ridicules her for her worship style. The perfume was worth a year's wage. It should have been sold for the poor and be given to the poor. And Jesus is like, no, but she's worshiping me. But Judas was so focused on something else. Sometimes we do things for others that people don't understand. See, then we see Martha serving in her strength. Martha's probably more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person. How of you can relate to a Martha? You're like, I could never be on stage. I cannot play an instrument. I don't like to be in front of people. But man, put me somewhere where I can just serve people and they don't even notice. That's where I love to be. I'm not an upfront kind of person. That's Martha. Jesus didn't say, Martha, Martha, be more like your sister. No, he was talking to Martha about the attitude of heart that her sister had. You see, Martha loved to serve and help people. She loved to be hospitable. She loved to prepare a place where people would just come and relax. This wasn't easy for her at first. She had to learn how to do this. She had to change her focus because she was probably raised maybe in a way where everything was done in a certain way. We actually don't know much about how she was raised. We just can sort of look and see. She probably the oldest and just took control. She had no parents, so, you know, she's just took control of the situation. I mean, here's the situation. You have your Martha, who's the A personality, probably the oldest. You got Mary, who's maybe the middle child, the wild and free one. And you got Lazarus, the baby brother, who just sits. He just died, so they're okay with him sitting and doing nothing because they're thankful he's not dead. So like, Lazarus, just sit and eat. It's okay, just sit and eat. And you know, he's the baby brother, so they've been serving him his whole life. That's Lazarus. But you see, Martha, if she wouldn't have allowed Jesus into her heart, she wouldn't be in this place in John 12. She would have been distracted and not knowing. But you see, she's not distracted. Even though her brother's sitting and not doing anything, even though her sister is at the feet of Jesus, she's not distracted because Martha is worshiping Jesus in her strength. She's worshiping Jesus in the place where she can do it best in serving, in her serving abilities. You see, each and every one of us in here have a call and have special gifts and talents that God has given you. God has given each and every one of you gifts and talents. And I don't know what they are, but you all have them. Are you using them or are you sitting on them? Are you using the gifts and talents that God has given you or are you sitting on them today coming up with so many excuses on why you don't have time? If that's the case, I can tell you plenty of reasons why I don't have time. But it's not a condition. It's not a competition, I mean. Who doesn't have time? But it's really a change of heart going, but it's all about Jesus. You see, when it comes to serving in my house, it's not because my wife makes me. It's because I'm part of the family. When I go to somebody else's house, they don't expect me to help. If I even try, they usually, you ever go to somebody's house, you try to help after dinner, and they say, no, sit down, don't do anything. You ever have somebody tell you that? But when you're at your house, it's time to help, right? Your wife doesn't say, no. I mean, occasionally, maybe she might say, no, sit down. If my wife says that, I'm like, no, you sit down. You've been on your feet all day doing everything. Let me do this. But it's a team thing. It's not this expected. It's not this thing. It's just sort of what you do. And maybe you, for those of you who have kids, you just say, hey, you're part of this family. Carry your load, right? We've said that. I've said that to my kids. You're part of this family. Now, if you call City View home, you're part of this family. If this is your church home, you're part of this family. Are you sitting on your gifts and not using them? Or are you using them for the glory of God? And maybe you're like, but I don't know where. What can I do? You see, you got to see where you fit in. There's so many different things and so many different places where you can be part of the team. What gifts and abilities do you have that you're not using for God's glory? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 says this, the end of the world is coming. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most importantly of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each and every one of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength you have energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. You see, even at this time in history, when Peter wrote this hundreds and hundreds of years ago, he said, the end is near. See, we're even closer to the end now. You know, there's that saying, that question that people ask, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do with today? What would you do with today? Who would you make sure that they know Jesus? What kind of things would you think, oh, well, I'd go skydiving? You know, there's that song, and I'd go skydiving, I'd go Rocky Mountain climbing, I'd go 3.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Anybody else know that song? Am I the only one? Whatever. I think that's Tim McGraw. Back in my Western, I never had Western days. I just like that song. The thing is, I don't want to be wasting my time. I did a funeral for a young man, 35 years old, yesterday. And one of the things that the people said at the funeral is, how many of us are wasting our time? I don't want to waste my time. Those of you who are single, you don't have kids, you have more time than you will ever have the rest of your life. You will never have this kind of time again. You're like, but I'm so busy with school. No, you're not that busy. I would love those days. I was talking to the guy at ACU, because I'm looking at going back to school, and he's looking at my credits, and he goes, man, you took, I can't remember, 10, I don't remember how many classes. He was amazed. I took, like, in 1 year, I took 24 credit hours and worked 45 hours a week and was the youth pastor. I was tired. But I didn't look at my life going, do I have any more time? I used every bit of time. Use your time wisely. Use your time. You have so much time right now to do things for the glory of God. You have so much time. And those of you who are married and you, maybe you're like, I don't have much time. But use the time that you have for the best. And your time right now, if you're a mom and you have kids that are ages 4 to 7 and you're like, or 1 to 7, and you're like, I don't know what that's your time. Love your kids. Be the best mom you can be. Do what you can. There's nothing wrong with that. Peter says this, the end is coming. So live like it, love like it, serve like it, and use your gifts like it. That's what he says. He doesn't say, go and make sure you have a couple days, go relax, go and chill for a bit, go do that. No, here's what he says. In those few verses, verses 7 through 11, here were his big points. He says, live like you're going to die tomorrow, love like you're going to die tomorrow, serve like you're going to die tomorrow, and use your gifts like you don't have any time left. He says, that's what you do with your life. So I ask you, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing at your work? What are you doing with your roommates? What are you doing at home? Are you doing and using every second, every moment for the glory of God? Because that's what Peter says. He says, do it for the glory of God. Because people are watching. You know, my kids, I take them everywhere I go when I serve. I try to. Because I want them to see and have a heart of service. Why is Alicia going on this 9-month mission trip? Is because it was an what's the word I'm looking for? It's in my notes. It was modeled for her by her parents. Her parents served. So it was obvious to her, well, this is what I do. But you see, that service, it starts as an obligation because we know we should do it, and it moves to a heart because we want to do it. My son, you might say, but I don't know, how can I help serve? My 6-year-old son, Ezra, can help tear down this stage. And he loves doing it. After he helped last week, he goes, Mommy, I want to do that every week. And he just carries the stilts. It's such a simple thing, but it's a huge help for this team. So I ask you, why should we serve? You might be thinking to yourself, but why? Why should I? Well, one, Jesus calls us to. Two, it's fun. It's fun to serve. It's fun to be a part of the team. It's fun to see your team do things that you never thought could happen. When you're on, for those of you who have ever played sports, being on a team that wins, it is one of the best things to be. Being in the stands and your team winning, you're like, oh, that's cool. But being on the field, being part of what's happening, how many of you are missing out because you're not on the field? When we talk about things that we've done and different opportunities and serving and kids' lives being impacted, don't miss out. We told the story about a young man, Zach, who had walked in. This is early on when City first started. It's one of the most powerful stories because a young man in his 20s ready to take his life. He was coming to church last time to say goodbye and then to go home and kill himself. That's what he was going to do. But people welcomed him. People greeted him. The hello team, some of you in here, welcomed him with love and grace, and he left with a purpose. And now he serves with a purpose. So you never know what you're doing and the impact you're making when you're serving. It's fun to be on the team. Serving gives you purpose and fulfillment. At the end of the day, it helps you feel good about yourself, which there's nothing wrong with. It helps you realize you have a purpose, that you can help people move from point A to point B. Serving is good for your soul. It's good for your health. It's good for the inner you because it takes the eyes off of you onto him. Serving is good for those around you. Serving applies your Christian life. Serving helps you connect. You have all received a Connect card. All of you should have received a Connect card. If you didn't, if you don't have one of these, raise your hand. We'll get you one right now. If you don't have one of these, or you could go on to our website right here. You go to cityviewphx.com/serve. But I want us right now to take a step. If you call City View home, some of you, you're new to City View. You've only been here a couple weeks. Just sit and chill. Figure out if this is a place you want to call home. I get that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if City View is your home, then I say take the next step. Take the next step, and I want you to fill out this card. Give me your first and last name, your email address, your phone number. And then if you can figure out a team, you're like, tech, I want to learn to run a soundboard, or I want to put the words up here on the screen. Maybe you have a music talent, and we don't even know it. I can sing. I can play an instrument. I would love to be part of the team. Maybe security, you want to help with our kids. Maybe a hello team, welcoming people. Maybe you want to help in the children's ministry. Maybe you want to be part of our outreach team or our connect team. And there's so many teams. Maybe you're like, I don't know where I will fit in. Then in the bottom part where there's three lines, right? I don't know where I will fit in, but I want to see where I can. Put that there and we'll get you connected. But take that action step right now. Fill it out. Don't waste time. Here's what we say here at City View. Serve one. Attend one, join one. That means serve one service. We have two services. Serve one service, go to one service, and then join one. Join a city group. City groups are Monday night. We have two Tuesday night and one Thursday night. I go Monday nights. Get in a city group. Be a part of the family. So what are you going to do? What gifts has God given you that you're sitting on right now? That I don't even know about, nobody in here knows about, but you do. Maybe you're an administrator. You're like, I could really help with just organizing a team or helping with that. We could use help with that. I don't know what your gifting or your talents are, but if you're sitting on them and you're not using them for the glory of God, then I ask, I challenge you, get up and start doing it. One of the values here at City View is we invest purposefully, and that investment works two ways. One, financially. If you call City View home, invest financially. If you're not, you're disobeying the Lord. Number two, invest your time. Because there's so much that God desires to use and do through you. If you just take that step of faith saying, God, I want to follow you with everything I have. Watch God bless you in ways you never thought possible. Lord, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you that you desire to use us in ways we never thought possible. God, I ask that we would take that step of faith now. Lord, that we would trust you with our life, with everything that we have. Lord, that we would live like we're not going to have a tomorrow, that we'd love like it, live like it, serve like it. Lord, and I don't even remember our last one, but whatever it was, Lord, may we live like it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.